This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines: Tehran warns of possible pullout from the nuclear non-proliferation treaty. Under mounting pressure from its Western allies, Germany says that it will not bar Poland from sending Leopard tanks to Ukraine. And British anti-monarchists are planning to protest during the coronation of King Charles III. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumish Ahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Top Iranian officials have strongly condemned the European Parliament's call for blacklisting the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, warning the EU of reciprocal measures. President Ebrahim Raisi says enemies are trying to subject a large part of the ruling system in Iran to criticism due to its success, but to no avail. Also, Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian warned that the options against the EU were on the table. He said Tehran would consider withdrawal from the nuclear non-proliferation treaty or expulsion from the international nuclear inspectors if the EU remains truthful to its words. That statement was echoed in Parliament, where MPs called for a decisive response and retaliatory measures against armed forces of European countries. EU foreign ministers are set to discuss fighting and tightening sanctions on Iran next week. Earlier, political analyst Fuad Izzati joined us with his take on the rising of Islamophobia and Iranophobia in Europe.
You know, normal people, when they fail at a project or a policy, they generally go back and try to make corrections, learn from the past mistakes, and have an action or a policy that is more reasonable. That's what normal people do. Normal countries do that. And then you have some people occasionally that when they fail, they start swearing. They start chanting, stuff that is not appropriate. And the second category of people are generally, they get upset because of the failure and they start saying nonsense. And it seems Europeans are in the second category, at least the people who voted for this motion are, instead of learning from past mistakes, instead of realizing that they cannot overthrow the Iranian government, they start name-calling, they start engaging in activities that are against international law, and they're going to hurt themselves. You know, they got into a fight with the Russian government, and they are not able to use Russian energy resources. If they want to repeat that with the Iranian government, they will be cut off from Middle Eastern energy resources, and that is not good for people in Europe.
Iran has launched the implementation phase of its first communication satellite Constellation project. Iran's space agency says it is now receiving tender offers for the mission. The head of the agency, Hassan Salarieh, says the project will be performed by domestic knowledge-based firms named after Iran's assassinated Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. The project is expected to make significant achievements for the industry. A satellite constellation is a group of artificial satellites working together as a system. Iran's space program is one of the country's science and technology sectors that has been major. It has seen major progress in recent years despite U.S. sanctions. Earlier, Iran's space agency spokesperson Hossein Dalirian joined us to elaborate on the project.
Implementation of this project is the first, actually, satellite constellation by the Islamic Republic of Iran, and it's supposed to be to offer a number of services to people, to organizations, and also the private sector. That's what the project is supposed to do. This is of the essence for Iran. And there are 2 points that I should mention regarding the Marshal Soleimani satellite constellation, is that by making use of space technology, we will be able to, within this project, to produce a series of satellites. We can also do simulation, and this is the first satellite, actually, constellation by Iran that will be operating in space. Another more important of this is given the assessments by Iran's space agency, this technology is indigenized. It exists in Iran, and technically we can strongly push ahead with this process. Therefore, the project since the very beginning, that means the early days, that means today, has been transferred to the private sector.
Germany says it is ready to authorize Poland to send German-made Leopard tanks to Ukraine to help Kiev fight Russian forces if Warsaw makes such a request. Foreign Minister said that Berlin will not stand in the way if it has been asked the question. She said that Germany is also discussing with its partners whether or not to supply those tanks. Meanwhile, the French president did not rule out the possibility of supplying Kiev with Leclerc tanks. Emmanuel Macron said, however, that sending tanks must not escalate the situation. New developments come as Western nations remain divided over supplying Ukraine with main battle tanks. Germany had linked its stance on Leopards to the U.S. reluctance to transfer its own Abraham tanks. Russia has repeatedly warned that the West's military aid to Ukraine will only prolong the war. Anti-monarchists intend to stage a protest against millions of pounds squandered in King Charles's coronation in hard times. Organizers of the demonstration against the royal ceremony for Charles III say it is nothing but a celebration of hereditary power. According to critics, the whole thing is a pointless theater, which makes no sense in a modern society. Buckingham Palace has revealed details of the 74-year-old king's coronation that will see 3 days of celebrations across the country. Figures from the Office for the National Statistics show a 2.6% drop in real wages in November last year. The fall indicates that wages do not match the double-digit inflation, which is a major source of discontent among workers who have been staging frequent walkouts across the country in recent months. Several trade unions in the UK warn that around 35,000 workers are at risk as the country's steel industry is a, quote, whisker away from collapse. Unite Community GMB unions have sent a joint letter to Business Secretary Grant Shapps that says the industry is facing problems due to a number of reasons. They include crippling energy costs, carbon taxes, and lost markets, lower demand, and open market access for imported steel. Unions have accused the government of taking little meaningful action to help the industry, leaving it at a breaking point. They have also called for an urgent meeting with the Energy Secretary to push for more support. Responding to the letter, the Department for Business and Energy Industrial Strategy acknowledged the vital role that steel plays within the UK economy. It said the government is committed to securing a sustainable and competitive future for the steel sector. Almost 1 year into the war in Ukraine, and there seems to be no diplomatic solution to the deadly conflict. The situation is exacerbating even further, given the rift among Western countries on how to assist Kiev militarily. The question is if such divisions would grow considerably and finally lead to a bigger confrontation.
Fractures are appearing in the Ukraine conflict between the Western backers of the war, first amongst themselves, then with Ukraine. Even though some 50 nations agreed to provide Kyiv with billions of dollars worth of military hardware, including armored vehicle and munitions needed to push back Russian forces, Germany has refused to provide Ukraine with Leopard tanks. Not only that, it has prevented other nations from transferring these tanks to Ukraine by countries that have them in their possession. The new German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius said that despite heightened expectations, we still cannot say when a decision will be taken and what the decision will be when it comes to the Leopard tanks. This has angered Ukraine, which blasted the global indecision of its allies after Germany's refusal. A Ukrainian presidential advisor tweeted, "Today's indecision is killing more of our people. Every day of delay is the death of Ukrainians. Think faster." It appears that the main disagreement lies between the U.S. and Germany, which has indicated that it would agree to do so only if the U.S. provided its Abrams tanks as well. Washington has said providing its Abrams tanks to Ukraine is not feasible, citing difficulties in training and maintenance. This disagreement has led to friction within the circle of U.S. congressmen. U.S. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has called on both countries to supply the machines. To the Germans, he said send the tanks to Ukraine because they need them. It is in your national interest that Russian President Vladimir Putin loses in Ukraine. To the U.S. President Joe Biden administration, he said send American tanks so that others will follow our lead.
Growing division among countries in the West brings to the spotlight the fact that each and every one of those countries are seeking their own political agenda by arming Kyiv. If that is the case, would people in Ukraine finally get to realize that their country is being used as an instrument for other nations' anti-Russia goals?
Military assistance to Ukraine has continued unabated in recent weeks and months. The headline reads, "Europe is gearing up to send Western tanks to Ukraine." It almost sounds like the warring parties are just getting warmed up to the conflict, that the war has entered a new phase. One conclusion could be that Ukraine is losing the war on the ground since it continues to seek more military assistance, and what it has received so far has not been enough to defeat the Russian forces. This, however, will not deter NATO and a number of individual member states who have pledged to provide heavier weapons to Ukraine. U.S.'s cautious stance may be that it does not want to fall into a direct conflict with Russia. That could also mean that it may risk defeat or that this risks getting into a nuclear confrontation. Russia's reaction to countries that are going to provide Ukraine with tanks was a warning. Dmitry Medvedev, deputy chairman of the Security Council of the Russian Federation, has said Kyiv's foreign backers do not care about Ukrainian lives and are motivated by their desire to hurt Russia. Those tanks can burn and will burn like the rest of the weapons. The nations supplying them are using Ukraine as an instrument in achieving their anti-Russian goals. Russia has also stated that this is no longer a war between Russia and Ukraine, but a war between Russia and U.S. and NATO. But what the Ukrainian defense minister said has been very telling. He tweeted recently, "We are carrying out NATO's mission today. They aren't shedding their blood. We are shedding ours." That's why they are required to supply us with weapons. All that brings everyone to the question, when will Ukrainians realize their country is being sacrificed for the sake of the US weakening Russia?
The chronic gun violence in the United States keeps taking lives. Now the police in the state of California are scouring for the suspect who killed 10 people and injured another 10 during Chinese Lunar New Year celebrations.
I think you're aware that at 11:18 this morning, we released a bulletin with a picture or an image of what we believe to be the suspect. We haven't named him, and there's a reason for that. We have a lot of resources in the Sheriff's Department, working with other agencies to make sure, again, that our priority, beyond taking care of the victims and survivors of this horrible incident, that we get this man off the streets.
Los Angeles County Sheriff said the shooter is believed to be an Asian man aged between 30 and 50. The Sheriff's Department has released a photo of the suspect captured by surveillance camera in an attempt to identify him. The incident took place after 10 p.m. local time in the city of Monterey Park, where around 65% of residents are Asian. Gun violence is rampant in the U.S., with mass shootings being recurrent across the country. Over the past years, there have been growing calls for stricter legislation on control and access to weapons in the country. Burkina Faso's military rulers have asked France to withdraw its forces from the country. They have also denounced the accord, which allows France to maintain its troops presence since 2018. That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight. In the U.S., three active-duty Marines have been charged with participating in the riot at the U.S. Capitol on 6th of January 2021. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. A Marine who said he was waiting for Civil War No. 2 and two other active duty members of the military have been charged with participating in the riot at the U.S. Capitol, authorities said in newly filed court papers. Micah Kuma, Joshua Abate, and Dodge Dale Halonen were arrested this week on misdemeanor charges after their fellow Marines helped investigators identify them in video footage among the pro-Trump mob on 6th of January 2021, according to court papers. Dozens of people charged in the riot have military backgrounds, but these three are among only a handful of active duty on active duty. A Marine Corps officer seen on camera scuffling with police officer and helping other members of the mob force their way into the Capitol building was charged in 2021. No defense lawyers for the men were listed in the court docket, so it was not immediately clear whether they have attorneys to comment on their behalf. Their service records show they are all active duty U.S. Marines. Major Kevin Stevenson, a spokesman for the Marine Corps, said it is aware of the allegations and is fully cooperating with appropriate authorities in support of the investigation. Micah Kuma of Indiana is stationed in Southern California's Camp Pendleton. Joshua Abate of Virginia is at Fort Meade in Maryland. And Dodge Dale Halonen of Michigan is stationed at North Carolina's Camp Lejeune, according to the Marines. The men spent about 52 minutes inside the Capitol building, authorities said. At one point, while they were in the rotunda, they put a red Make America Great Again hat on a statue to take pictures with it, according to court papers. Dodge Dale Halonen was carrying a Don't Tread on Me flag, according to the authorities. Micah Kuma posted photographs on Instagram and appeared to be taken inside the Capitol with the caption, "Glad to be a part of history," according to court documents. Days after the 2020 presidential election, he and another person discussed over Instagram message his belief that the election was rigged. And in late January 2021, he told another person in a message that everything in this country is corrupt. "We honestly need a fresh restart. I'm waiting for the boogaloo," Micah Kuma wrote in a message detailed in court documents. When asked by the person what a boogaloo was, Micah Kuma responded, "Civil War No. 2. The boogaloo is an anti-government, pro-gun extremist movement. Supporters have shown up at protests over COVID-19 lockdown orders and protests over racial injustice, carrying rifles and wearing tactical gear over Hawaiian shirts. The shirts are a reference to Big Law, a riff on the term boogaloo, sometimes favored by group members. During an interview related to his security clearance in June, Joshua Abate acknowledged walking through the Capitol with two buddies, investigators said. Joshua Abate said they walked around and tried not to get hit with tear gas. The trio faced charges including illegal entry and disorderly conduct. Among January 6 defendants with military backgrounds are members of the far-right extremist group the Oath Keepers, accused of plotting to violently keep President Donald Trump in power. The Oath Keepers' leader, Stuart Rhodes, a former U.S. Army paratrooper, was convicted of seditious conspiracy in November. A U.S. Navy reservist from Virginia accused of storming the Capitol was convicted this week on charges that he illegally possessed silencers disguised to look like innocuous cleaning supplies. Hatchet Speed is scheduled to go on trial in his January 6 case later on this year. And a former U.S. Army reservist described by protesters as a Nazi sympathizer was convicted of storming the Capitol building to obstruct Congress from certifying President Joe Biden's electoral victory. Timothy Hale Cusanelli, who was employed as a security contractor at a U.S. Navy base, was sentenced to 4 years in prison last September. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story and tells us more. Three active service US Marines, all with ties to intelligence work, were arrested this week for taking part in the 6th of January 2021 insurrection at the US Capitol, according to federal documents newly unsealed. The three men, all with long serving, were taken into custody on Wednesday, 18th of January, on four charges, bringing to 12 the number of US military members charged in connection with a deadly insurrection by supporters of the outgoing President Donald Trump as they tried to prevent the certification by Congress of his defeat by Joe Biden. The news was first reported by the website military.com. The three men were named as Micah Coomer, Joshua Abate, and Dodgedale Halonen. According to the documents unsealed on Thursday, 19th of January, they spent more than an hour together wandering around the Capitol Rotunda and at one point placed a red MAGA hat on one of the statues to take photographs with it, indicating Trump's Make America Great Again election slogan. Investigators noted social media posts by Michael Coomer, including one where he stated he was glad to be a part of history, and a chat with another Instagram user in which he explained he was there because he was waiting for the boogaloo, a term popular with right-wing extremists and white supremacists to signify a race-related civil war. U.S. Marine Corps records provided to military.com website show all three have been enlisted for more than 4 years, have good conduct medals, and that each works in demanding jobs tied to the intelligence community. At least one holds a significant security clearance. In a statement to the outlet, a spokesperson said the service is aware of an investigation and the allegations and said it was fully cooperating with appropriate authorities in support of the investigation. The men face misdemeanor charges including trespass, disruptive and disorderly conduct, and obstructing government business. According to the 13-page document compiled by the FBI Special Agent Kelsey Randall of the agency's Joint Terrorism Task Force, investigators learned of Michael Coomer's social media posts and, after obtaining a search warrant, identified the two others from images contained in them. Security footage from the Capitol showed the three men entering the building together through a door near the Senate chamber and moving further inside as part of a mob of dozens of others, many wearing Donald Trump's signature Make America Great Again red caps. Additional proof came from cell phone records showing the three men were in the building, Randall wrote.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program. We have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
That's all right. Recently, the notorious Charlie Hebdo magazine in France again desecrated, we can say, with its caricatures and cartoons, the main characters of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, and in his recent versions, you know, the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, under the flag of the so-called freedom of speech, they are disrespecting and desecrating the religious beliefs of others. That's right, Sheikh Rouhani. Up to now, was about Prophet Muhammad and the Islamic sanctities. What about the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei? And recently, you know, he was disrespected by Charlie Hebdo magazine too. What about his personality?
I think the main problem when it comes to the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, hafizahullah, is this, that this Islamic Republic of Iran is not like a blindly follower of them. Mm-hmm. While in other maybe Islamic countries, they may find the leaders of those countries, okay, that they follow them.
Hand in hand with them. That's
exactly,
right.
Yeah. But what the supreme leader does nowadays is this, that he very explicitly, very categorically opposes their doctrines, their teachings, their ideas. But at the same time, Islamic Republic of Iran is very much powerful and is very much strong in terms of ideology, I mean, in terms of, let's say, software, we can say, and at the same time, in terms of hardware. In both kind of areas, in both kind of cases, Islamic Republic of Iran is day by day becoming more and more powerful. This is what they fear.
Of course, the issue between Iran and France is a really, we can say, old one. In a speech that was given by Ayatollah Khamenei on January 8, 2021, Ayatollah Khamenei said that, "I really don't trust them," that is the US and the UK governments, on the vaccination. And one of the reasons that he added is that, "I do not trust the French either. The reason is that they have a history of giving us contaminated blood products." As you could remember, Iran was the victim, and so many people in Iran were the victims of the HIV-tainted products that was given, unfortunately, to the Iranian, we can say, sick people on that time. And they infected so many Iranians with HIV. This is not my case. You know, a journalist named Anne-Marie Castret, who was a physician in Replay in 1991, disclosed this case, mm-hmm, in a magazine, that so many addicted people were invited to the hospitals of France. Their bloods were taken and they were given coffee and sandwich. And then the polluted and the HIV-tainted blood were sent to the other countries under the full knowledge, you know, under the full knowledge of the principals of the hospitals and the governors. That's why France has no, we can say, that's right, white history in this case. Not only Iran, but so many other countries, so many African countries too, were polluted by these bloods over there. Now, okay, Said Mohsen, about the case of Ayatollah Khamenei, recently, we can say, unfortunately, they disrespected him in such a case, you know. From one side, we could see the protest against Iran, against General Soleimani and Ayatollah Khamenei, and from the other side, we could see disrespectful cartoons on the magazines. It seems that they're really matched together, you know, all the events that took place in Iran and these cartoons over there. What is your point on that?
Well, obviously, we know that behind everything that happened in Iran was a planned, an organized, we can say, like, support, the things that happened in Iran, on the name of freedom, which was not the freedom, okay, and which was against the will of the general public of Iran, because, yes, the general public of Iran, when they reacted on what happened, obviously their number was much more than what was shown by the Western media. So basically, these cartoons of Ayatollah Khamenei shows that the Western powers, they failed in what they planned, mm-hmm, for Iran. Obviously, they planned a new revolution in Iran through the, the hijacked people.
Yes.
Who were brainwashed. And since they are like, you know, they faced the failure, as they faced the failure in different fields, for example, in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Palestine, they're facing the defeat. So basically in this field, they also faced the defeat. And this was the last thing that, now, we need to start character assassination of the leaders,
yes,
so that they're not the most beloved leaders of the world. You know, you have seen that in many times. We have seen in many years whenever there was there was a talk about the most beloved leaders, the most influential political leaders,
even Pope.
Yeah.
So that's right.
The name of Ayatollah Khamenei, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the Supreme Leader, was there. Yes. The name of Hassan Nasrallah is always there.
Yes.
These two personalities.
Sorry, recently
Ayatollah Sistani as well.
Yes, recently on the the best Arab man of the year, the picture of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah was deleted too. Was deleted.
Yeah.
On purpose, okay?
Right.
It was on the cover and then it was deleted.
It was deleted.
He
later.
Was among the least, but his picture was not, for example, on the
on
list.
The title
but look who was on the list. Look who was on the cover. Just take a look.
So basically, these personalities, for example, Ayatollah Sistani, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the Supreme Leader, Hassan Nasrallah, these are the most influential people, the most beloved leaders of the world. And there is no doubt in it, like after the Islamic Revolution, and these so-called leaders, like the Western leaders, for example, the French or the other leaders, who think that they are the most beloved or they can rule the world, they are not the most beloved, but they're the most cursed people on the earth.
Okay, that's all right. Dozens of Iranians protesters have gathered outside France's embassy in Tehran to express their anger to French publication after it called for cartoons attacking the Islamic Republics of Iran top religious and political authority by chanting, "I will sacrifice my life for the leader." And this was what won. The flag of France was also on fire over there. Different demonstrations were held in different cities of Iran. Also, religious seminary students have protested against this action of France. As I said, Iran says that French government is responsible for infamous magazines' profane cartoons against Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. This shows the power of Ayatollah Khamenei, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
In the world, and his status is now shown to the people around the world.
Yes, finally, I wanted to just mention this point that if they are really dedicated to those kind of claims that they apparently claim that they respect the human rights, respect freedom of expression, they actually spread the peace and tolerance in the world. These are the things that the liberal kind of theoricians, we can say, in France, they always claim.
Okay.
So, of course, if you're strong enough, then you should not fear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why are you fearing?
If you fear, then this kind of means that you make use, like make cartoons of some figures, it can never help you to gain something.
Yes.
That is why at least be dedicated would be, let's say, faithful to those kind of things, principles that you have.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to, for example, spread peace in the world, so you should not do such kind of things because it will never spread peace in the world. Or, for example, if you respect the other's rights, so religious kind of beliefs is the human rights. It could be included in, according to your principles. The people have the right to have their own, let's say, beliefs. Particularly when it comes to Islam, as I told you, Islam never allows its followers to insult, for example, the other great figures of the other religions, other followers of other schools. So this is the peace that Islam is spreading.
Okay.
That's why we say Islam is a religion of peace.
That's right.
And mercy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think these are the points that at least we should that should be taken into consideration while
on the other hand, on the other hand, we should not forget the assassination of the Algerian people by the French government.
Yes.
The French Revolution, where in Paris they killed 3,000 people.
Yes.
14,000 people in different provinces.
Yes.
So this is the black page of France.
Yes.
Black history of the government, which is talking about the human rights today, which is talking about the freedom of speech, where the people of that time did not have the freedom of speech, and these were their the leaders who did this. And today, if they are enjoying a place, it is because of the blood of innocent people which they shed. which they shed at that time. And, you know, the sculptures of the Algerian Muslims, which is in the museum, it shows the black face of this evil government in today's world.
Therefore, there is a museum, there is a picture that the people can Google it, that the skulls, I mean the skulls of 400 Muslim peoples, and we can say scientists, are held over there in the museum. And this has been considered as an honor for the French history. How is it possible to keep out the skulls of 400 Muslims in a museum and show it to the people that this is our victory in the world? Who, as you said, France, the main, colonial power in the world, who have monopolized so many other countries, especially the African ones. Now just look at the French football team. Are they French, really? Most of them are Algerian, you know. They don't have even French people over there.
Yeah.
Okay? And under such, French flag, they're playing for them. And so many other people over there. That's all right. As you said, this is a black history. The people, if they are looking for the case, they can go to the blood, contamination scandal.
If you just search in BBC how a masque of Algerian in Paris was covered up, the BBC will show you, in a day how many. It says like around 30,000 Algerian had taken to the streets of Paris. Now, it's the black history that they have in 1961, how police killed 100 protesters. They did not had, today when there is a protest in Islamic Republic of Iran, under the leadership of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei, we see many people coming to the streets, chanting, even against the Supreme Leader or the government.
Okay.
No one is getting killed during the protests. Whereas we have recently seen these, the scenes like on the TV, that how the French government was beating up the people who were protesting against the governments, and even in the UK as well.
Yes.
So all these things shows us the hypocrisy. It shows us their evilness. It shows us their dark picture or the evil face of these governments at this time.
All right. And not only Iran or Iran Muslim lands, also the USA is, the victim. It is estimated that 6,000 to 10,000 hemophiliacs were infected in the United States alone because of the contaminated Iran. And now they are hand in hand together, the Macron and the U.S.
This is hypocrisy because they forgot about their history, what they have done for them.
And some of our dear listeners might think that because we are producing from Iran, we are saying this. No, they can search it on the Google. They can find the documents. Even the documents, the paper documents are put on the Google showing over there. Okay. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. For more information, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Israeli settler attacks against Palestinians are a normal reality in villages around Nablus, threatening everyone's lives. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of the Electronic Intifada wrote, Ahmad Dawabish does not like to look back. He has good reason. The 12-year-old survived one of the worst settler attacks in recent years when his family's home in the village of Duma in the occupied West Bank district of Nablus was firebombed by Israeli settlers in 2015. Ahmad's 18-month-old brother Ali was burned to death. His father, Saad, died a week later from his injuries. Riham, Ahmad's mother, died a month after that. Ahmad was 4 at the time. He sustained severe burns all over his body, and the attack still cast a dark shadow over life in the village. According to Nasser Dawabish, 48, the uncle who is now raising Ahmad, relations between the villagers in Duma and the Israeli settlers surrounding them have only gotten worse. And since 2015, the village has been attacked at least a dozen more times. As for Ahmad, he's trying to put it behind him. The attack doesn't affect me anymore because I don't allow myself to think about it, Ahmad told the Electronic Intifada, sitting on a sofa chair in his uncle's home. He attempts to twirl a football in between his fingers, catching it before it falls on the ground. Ahmad still has burn scars across the right side of his face and across his body. He has had years of reconstructive surgery and skin grafts, and his treatment is far from over. Every 6 months, he must undergo laser skin treatment for the scars, along with hair restoration surgeries and more skin grafts. The family receives special military permission to access this treatment at an Israeli regime hospital. We don't feel happy going there inside the occupied territories, Nasser said, adding, but it is only Israeli hospital that has the medical equipment, so we have no other choice. As tensions soar across the occupied West Bank, the United Nations finding that 2022 has been the deadliest year for Palestinians in the West Bank since it started counting fatalities in 2005. The Dawabish family is left to fend for themselves. Nasser told the Electronic Intifada, "We are terrified something like this could happen again. There is no authority here that can protect us from them. We only have God." The Dawabish family's home still stands as it was, blackened with ash and dotted with Ahmad's parents' blankets and belongings in the room where they sustained the burns that would eventually kill them. On one of the walls, someone has scribbled, "We will never forgive." We decided to leave the home this way to act as a proof and testament to the violence Israeli settlers have inflicted on us, Nasser said. The ringleader of the attack was then 21-year-old Amiram Ben Oleil, who was at the time living in a bus in the Odei Ad settlement outpost, which overlooks Douma. He was allegedly part of the Hilltop Youth, an extremist and nationalist group of Israeli settlers who agitate for a Jewish theocracy from which Gentiles, non-Jews, are expelled. While all Israeli settlements in the Palestinian territory are considered illegal under international law, the Zionist regime only considers outposts illegal. It nonetheless provides them with state-funded protection and access to water and electricity. They're often retroactively legalized, and the new Israeli coalition regime has reportedly pledged to confer legal status on all remaining outposts in its first 60 days in power. The Hilltop Youth are fiercely anti-Palestinian. They are accused of being behind the so-called price tag attacks in which settlers target Palestinians and their properties in revenge for outposts being demolished by the Zionist regime's military. Ben Oleil was represented by the lawyer Itamar Ben-Gvir, now the ultra-right leader of the Otzma Yehudit, who is set to become national security minister, a newly created position in Benjamin Netanyahu's latest and most extreme coalition regime. According to prosecutors, Ben Oleil began his journey that night from Yeshuv Hadat, a nearby settlement outpost. He staked out homes in Douma to attack, first throwing a Molotov cocktail into an empty house. He then moved on to Dawabish family's home. One Molotov was thrown through the Dawabish bedroom window while the family was asleep. Ben Oleil also sprays painted revenge on the outside of the home before the attack. The indictment claims that Ben Oleil acted alone in the attack with one unidentified suspect, who was a minor at the time, striking a plea deal that saw him convicted only as an accessory. However, eyewitnesses claim that they saw at least two masked men fleeing from the scene that night. In 2020, an Israeli regime court issued a triple life sentence against Ben Oleil, who had been convicted on 3 counts of murder and 2 counts of attempt murder. The Shin Bet, an Israeli regime spying agency at the time, said the ruling was an important milestone in the battle against Jewish terror. But the rare sentencing of a Jewish settler for crimes committed against Palestinians has done little to comfort the Dawabish family. Nasser said, it wasn't enough. Standing outside the charred remains of the family's home, adding, "It will never bring back the dead," and it wasn't the act of one person. If it wasn't for the government and army supporting these settlers, then they would never have come to burn our family alive. It is the Zionist regime and the occupation itself that should be on trial, Nasser said. Not just one settler, he said. The court had also fined Ben Oleil just under $75,000, which was to be given as compensation to Ahmad. Nasser says the family has still not received any money. Nasser told the Electronic Intifada, "These settlers are still attacking us, and they are still taking our land. Nothing has changed." Just a week after Ahmad's family was targeted in an arson attack, another Palestinian family's home near Douma was also attacked with Molotov cocktails. No injuries were reported in that attack. Nablus in particular has seen a sharp increase in coordinated and armed settler attacks over the past few months under Israeli regime army protection. This is due in part to Palestinian resistance operation against the Zionist regime troops and Zionist settlers in Nablus and other West Bank cities, as well as the arrival of the annual olive harvest season, in which many Palestinians are permitted to access their lands near Israeli settlements and outposts, and which is often accompanied by a spike in settler assaults. According to the UN, there have been nearly 800 settler attacks against Palestinians and their property in 2022. At least 175 Palestinians have been killed by the Israeli regime army in the West Bank and Gaza during 2022. Douma has had its share of this increase in settler violence. On June 16, 2022, a car near Douma was set on fire by settlers armed with metal batons. They smashed the car's windshield and a side window and pepper sprayed the two men inside. On the same day, a couple with their three-year-old daughter and one-month-old infant were also attacked by Israeli settlers who were standing beside an Israeli regime military jeep. The settlers kicked their car, smashed one of the windows and a front headlight with a baton, and pepper sprayed the couple and their babies.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.